Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us, for watching over us, Lord, for your divine provision and protection, Lord, for us, for Bethel, for, Lord, the life and health and strength that we have to be here, for the work that's been done, and, Lord, especially for those that aren't here, for Will and Pat and Steve and Christy and Taylor and Esther, and, Lord, for all those that have been and gone. We know, Lord, things are getting more and more tricky out there in the world, but we know if we keep our eyes on you, the world may change, but you never do. And, Lord, we can be sure of that. We thank you, Lord, for the assurance of salvation. We pray you, Lord, for our leaders, not just in this country, but the countries around the world. And, Lord, at every turn, you would convict and withstand that which is wrong. And Lord, that you would bless and provision and protect that which is right. Folks need to hear the gospel and get saved, Lord. And for all the leaflets that have gone out, for all the words that have been heard and the Bibles that have been put through the doors in this town, in this country, I pray you please, Lord, that even now that you would work in the hearts and minds of saved and lost alike. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your Son, Lord, for everything that you've done for us. And I just pray this and our private prayer requests in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Okay. I'm trying to remember which one that hymn was that we were practicing the other day. It's number, not, you know, we'll start with 355. 355. 355, what a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. On we trials and temptations, is there trouble anywhere? Never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee, take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee, thou wilt find a solace there. Amen. Right, don't close those books, just go back a few pages to 331. This is, wherever he leads, I'll go. And it might be a little bit unfamiliar still, but don't worry about it. Just do what the title says, and listen to me and follow along with me. Amen.
take up my cross and follow me. I heard my master say, I gave my life to ransom thee, surrender your all today. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. He drew me closer to his side. I sought his will to know. And in that will I now abide. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. It may be through the shadows dim, or o'er the stormy sea. I take my cross and follow him. Wherever he leadeth me, wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. My heart, my life, my all I bring to Christ who loves me so. He is my master, Lord and King. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go.
Amen. I was going to say you may be seated, but you may be seated. Amen. We're going to have a wee look in the book of John, if you'd like to take a turn there. Book of John chapter 9. John chapter 9 is where we're having our Bible reading for today. So if you'd like to take a turn there. Don't forget to pray for those folks that can't, that aren't with us today. For those that can't be with us today, or at least this morning. We look forward to seeing them this evening. Amen. We're glad to have Frank with us. Has everybody gotten? Yeah? Amen. The Word of God says in John chapter 9, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Neighbours therefore and they which had before seen him that he was blind said, Is not this he that sat and begged? And some said, This is he. And others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? And he answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? And he said, I know not. And they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then asked the Pharisees again, Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, He put clay on mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. And others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. And they say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him that he opened thine eyes? And he said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. And these words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was the Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner. And he answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee, and how opened he thine eyes? And he answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? And then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses, and as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. And the man answered and said unto him, Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. And since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, Are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now ye say we see, therefore your sin remaineth. Amen. Thank you for your good time and attention there. Powerful verses, and It's good to have them there. It gives you an idea of what you're facing whenever you go to contemporary religious people as a newly saved Bible-believing Christian. Amen. Right. I hope you made a point of getting one of your prayer lists. They're the little Christmassy green ones. Please do take them. Please do take a bit of time and have a look at them, and even call those names out when in a moment or two of prayer. We do miss a lot of people this morning. We miss everybody when they're not here. Frank, your mum, I don't know if your mum ever says, but your name gets mentioned just about every service, whether you're here or not. So we are thinking and praying for you. There is a lot going on. Most of it is centering around the church right now, and we would appreciate your prayers for funds, for help, and for good weather, and wisdom for Norman. I don't need wisdom. All I need, Norman just needed someone strong in the muscle and weak in the brain, and God answered his prayer and brought me along. So pray for wisdom for Norman, strength for me, and we will get through it in the fullness of time. We were able to get, and I know I've already shared with you, Lord willing, a new front door for the church. We'll have to get a new fire door for the back of the church, and we'll probably have to replace every single bit of timber on the outside of the church, and we're only about a fifth of the way through, if that. So please do pray for us as we go. I do know as well that Dr. Yang and Dr. Shang and Frank will be travelling to Greece Tuesday, isn't it?
Yeah.
For a week. So we will not have your company next week, but we'll be lifting you up in prayers and pray everything goes smoothly, or at least in such a fashion, maybe like the last time, that there is a testimony made of what God can actually do. I think that wasn't the last trip that you're on, but one of the trips that you were on where someone lifted your purse, wasn't that right, Dr. Yang? Or your handbag, someone stole. Is that 5 years ago? My goodness. And it's a long time ago. And what did you do? You prayed, didn't you? And I heard some of the people laughed at you. And then your documents turned up, minus the money, which you weren't that bothered about, but your documents turned up. So, yeah, I pray that doesn't happen this time. Or at least spread the money out between everybody. I pray you have a restful time. And I know that Frank will be busy shortly after that again. Well, everybody will be busy, but so pray you have a good trip. Norman has legal things outstanding. Appreciate your prayers for that. Appreciate your prayers for my mother-in-law, Pat Hain. She got the treatment on her heart, didn't take. It changed. So it changed the her heartbeat is normal. It's just too rapid at the moment, isn't that it? So they're going to find out if there's anything else that they can do to help her on Thursday. Would appreciate your prayers for that. Amen. Don't forget Christy and Taylor. I think they're probably home by now. I think the flight got in at maybe 4 or 5 o'clock this morning and down in Dublin, and there was a lot of travelling and one thing and another, so please do pray for them. For Christy's granny, Esther, Pat and Steve doesn't keep the best of a morning, so he isn't able to make it out with us, and we'll look forward to catching up with everybody else this evening. Don't think there's anything else, is there? Norman, do we need to be praying about anything else?
Pray that we don't find anything that's horribly
yeah. Yes, indeed, there's lots of prayers. Every time we put a crowbar into a piece of wood and prise it off, we're praying that the wood's good. So, amen. Please do keep remembering. That is the big thing on my mind right now. Please do pray about that, if you would. private prayer requests. I have down here prayer requests for myself and Monica, for Ling, for Steve, Pat, for Will and Norman. I take it we all still have our private prayer requests, okay. If it ever changes and there's nothing that you need people ganging up in prayer about to the Lord, let us know and we'll take that off. But otherwise, that's about that. All good? Let's have a wee word of prayer and then we'll sing another song. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for just the freedom to come before you, Lord, and bring before you our prayer requests and petitions. And I just want to make mention of a few. And thank you for the freedom that we still have to gather together for the work done in the church. And thank you, Lord, too, for Ling and Frank being here. And I pray that you would watch over them both and Dr. Shang as they travel over the next week. I'm hoping and praying that Taylor got back safe and sound and got all her paperwork and one thing and another all sorted out and that things will go smoothly from here on. For Will, Lord, we miss him this morning. For Pat and Steve, we pray you for strength of will, strength of body, strength of mind, Lord, for good Christian character for all your children. Regardless what the world would throw at us, Lord, we would continue to keep our eyes on you. Lord, I pray that you would work in the hearts and minds of those leading Israel. And Lord, even now that you would make an example of those that oppose Israel. Father, we really do need you. Please, Lord, give us everything we need as we work on your house. And Lord, on our daily bread. We love you and thank you. And we pray this, and of course for private prayer requests and petitions, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. Right, let's sing another song. Let's take our hymn books and let's turn to hymn number 30. I haven't sung this one for a while. Number 30 in the big books, Nothing But the Blood. If you're able and you'd like to stand, you're welcome to stand. If you want to remain seated, well, that's good too.
But the blood of Jesus, oh precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus, nothing can pour sin at home. Nothing but the blood of Jesus, not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus, oh precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes
makes me white as snow. No other find I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This, oh, was there another verse? Okay, we'll be seated then and we'll sing another song.
Goodness, my apologies.
I was enjoying that and wasn't paying attention to the verses. Amen. One more hymn and we'll make sure there's all the verses get sung. If I can just find it here. There we go. Hymn number 349. The Comforter is come.
Four verses. Spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, wherever human hearts and human woes abound. Let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound, the
divine, that I, a child of hell, should in his image shine. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come.
the Comforter has come, the Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise give. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come.
Amen. Put your hymn books away and take your Bibles out again. We're not too far away from where we were earlier on. We're in John chapter 15. And John chapter 15, there's only 27 verses in it. We're going to read it all. We're going to be speaking on the subject of contained in verse number 2. That is our text, but there's just so much there. I thought we would read it all this morning. Purging the fruit. Purging the fruit. Or purging the branch. Just whatever. Amen. Amen. John chapter 15, beginning at verse number 1. These are the words of Jesus Christ. In my Bible, they're in red because I have a red letter edition. That means these are the quoted words of Jesus Christ. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Amen. Verse number 2 is going to be our text, and I want to speak about purging the branches a little bit this morning. We'll have a quick word of prayer and then we'll continue on. Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord. Please bless our time in your presence. Please, Lord, I pray you, even if it's a verse of scripture or just something that's been rattling around in our heads, I pray you, please, that you would just work on our hearts and minds this morning. Love you and thank you. I pray you, Lord, that you'd be one of our number and that you would not be done with us, Lord. That you would continue to uphold us and strengthen us and encourage us and provision us. And provide us, Lord, all of the many helps and blessings that you have contained in your word. We ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. All right, just seeing as we're, I'd like you to turn your page or go to the next chapter and just have a wee look at John 16 and 3. This is a freebie. John 16 and 3 says, "And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father or me." And that just, I was reminded of that verse because of verse 21. "All these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." But I think it was President Clinton, whenever he was making his speech, the speechwriter made a reference to what he thought was that most famous of Bible verses, John 3 and 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." But whoever was writing it didn't actually know their Bible and put down John 16 and 3, which says, "These things they do because they know not the Father, nor me." In other words, he just named himself as a heathen and an antichrist. And I always thought that was very, very funny, because when you try and use the word of God the wrong way, it always shows you up. Verse number 2 is our text. "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." Whenever you get a lot of red writing in your Bible, you know that the Lord has a lot to say. And he does. We're going to come back to the branches in just a little minute. But I want to bring you a couple of the main, very, very important points that the Lord refers to in the rest of this portion of his word. First of all, I want for you to understand that the book of John has many insights that the other gospels don't have. This was written by John, who was also known as the beloved apostle. He was called that because he always seemed to be there. He was the one that leaned on the Lord's breast, the Bible says, at the Last Supper. He was the one that was there whenever all the rest of the disciples arrived. And he was the one that was still there when all the rest of the disciples left. He spent more time with Jesus, and he was called the disciple that God loved. But in reality, he was the disciple that loved God more than all of the other disciples. And he was prepared to spend more of his time in God's presence. Now, he talks about love a little bit, and we're not talking about romantic love. We're talking about the love that a brother has for a brother or a child has for their father. And the Lord says the relationship between him and us is not supposed to be the one of a king and a servant whose life resides in his hands, even though ours quite literally does. The relationship that we are to have is between that of a loving father and a beloved child. And we're supposed to love our dad. More than that, and the Lord goes on to explain in verse number 13 that there's no greater love in this world that a man can have for another human being than to lay down his life for him, because that's quite literally giving everything that you have to spare the life of somebody else. But you need to know that while we were yet enemies of God, while we hated God, Christ died for us. Christ laid down his life for his enemies. That is a greater love than any man can have. And he goes on to say, in verse 15, you're not my servants. You're not my slaves. You're my friends. And I have told you everything that I have heard from my Father. It's a different relationship. It is supposed to be a close walk with the Lord, where we listen to him, even wait on his commands, and then we do what he asks us to do. Bearing in mind that it might be difficult for us, and it might cost us time and money, and it may even cost us a little bit of effort, but that's what character building takes. Character building is not cheap and it's not easy. It's sore on the body, and it's sometimes it can be sore on the time that we have, and maybe a bit sore on the pocket, but a good character, the Bible says, is to be desired above many riches. I'm sure we could take you to the doors of many a person in this world that has plenty of money, but you wouldn't trust them around the corner or out of your sight not to turn on you. So the Lord says, if you do what I say, it's not that I will love you more, but you'll only be able to do what I say if you love me. And you know deep down in your heart that this is the best thing to be done at any given time. And Romans 8 and verse 28 tell us that everything will work out for the best when we're saved, and whenever we're doing what the Lord asks us to do. And here's the rub. The Lord will never ask us to do anything that we can't do. We might have to stretch ourselves a little bit, and we might have to go out in a little bit of a limb, but he'll never ask us to do anything we're not available to do. He tells us we'll not be able to do it without him. It may seem like it sometimes whenever we're out there standing on the solid rock and preaching the gospel or testifying or doing whatever it is that the Lord asks us to do. It might seem like we're on our own, but we're not. The Bible also says in Romans 8, I think it's 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? But anyway, towards the end of John chapter 15, the Lord tells us as well, there's going to be tricky times come our way. People are going to hate us. And they're going to do things to us for no reason other than that they hate God. And he said, don't be surprised. I've told you these things before they happen, so whenever they do happen, you will know that I've just told you the future and that you can be prepared, not offended. The world doesn't hate its own, but it hates God. Because God reminds the world that it's lost, that it's living in sin, that judgment's going to come. And people don't like to be told that, so they're going to kick, and they're going to bite, and they're going to cause bother. But don't worry. He says, I'll give you another comforter, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And it is from that that God will deliver to you every little bit of peace, provision and assurance and so many more things that you will need and so much more in this world. Let's go back to our verse. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, this verse has been a lot on my mind this past week or two, mainly because I found it very, very interesting for the first time ever. Whenever our raspberries came in the house, instead of leaving them until they all came in, we just decided to go out and pick the ripe ones. And so we picked the ripe ones. Then the next day we noticed there were more ripe ones, and so we picked those ripe ones. And we did that for about a week, and we ended up with 2 kilos. 2 kilos, about 4.5 pounds of raspberries off of about a square meter of raspberry canes. And that is the most raspberries I have ever seen come off that plant. There was years that has sat out there, and we were waiting for just the right time to go out and pick the raspberries so that we would get them all and we would be able to make raspberry jam, which some of you have already tasted. And so just for the crack, after doing the same with the rhubarb, picking the rhubarb stalks whenever they were thick and ready to go and letting the other ones come up and then picking them whenever the time was, and we picked another kilo or two of rhubarb. Not all at the one go, over a period of time. And so, I'm sure Monica got it straight away. It took me a couple of times to catch on. I thought, I'll have a look at the blackberries as I'm walking up and down the road. First day I came back with a couple of blackberries, and it was the middle of August. Maybe even a little bit sooner than that. I thought, this is amazing, because it's not normally blackberry picking time until September. But I just kept picking them. And every time we went down, there were more. And I started going down with a bag. And I filled the bag. And I thought, surely that has to be that. But in faith, I took another bag the next time. And there were more. And more. And more. And even whenever we never picked them for a day or two, Monica went down just for the crack, and she picked nearly 3 kilos. Between that and a couple of blackberries that we picked out at the back, 3 kilos of blackberries. I think we picked something like nearly 35 pounds weight of fruit just by picking them whenever they're ripe. People are saying, well, I tell you what else is pretty ripe is your premise for the sermon, because it seems like you're scraping the bottom of the barrel to try and get a story or a sermon out of picking fruit from the hedges along the side of a wee country road. But it really spoke to me. I have read this verse of scripture many, many times, and I never quite got why the Lord would purge the fruit that grows on the vine. Until I started thinking about the way fruit grows on a blackberry bramble. Even the most humble, troublesome, painful of plants that has those tasty little berries that gets turned into blackberry jam, blackberry and apple jam, blackberry and apple jelly, and of course my favourite, blackberry and apple crumble. Whenever you pick the ripe ones off of that little bunch of, I don't know if you've never seen them, go and have a look. Tiny little green, hard nuts almost of very, very unripe berries. And I think if you took them off and flung them at someone with a catapult, it might actually hurt. What happens is all of the goodness and the water and the food that has gone into ripening that one or two berries and that clump of green berries is now able to go to the unripe ones. And then when you pick those off, all the food that would have gone to those will now go to the other unripe ones, and those will ripen. And so on and so forth until they're all ripened, they've all been fed, they all come up and they all end up in our freezer. It's amazing how the Lord can open your understanding of the scriptures from picking blackberries during a walk every morning. And this is where, if the bramble had a head on it and a brain on it, and it felt pain, because sometimes I would even take my pocket knife as I'm walking along, and the big green ones that step away out into the road and catch you on the front of the leg, I'll whip them off. So I'm doing a wee bit of pruning as I go. They would say, as you pluck the blackberry off, ow, that's sore. You just pulled off a bit of my fruit. That hurts. And what would you say to it? Mr. Bramble, if I don't pull off this blackberry, the other blackberries won't ripen. And he might say, well, I can understand that in my head, but it still hurts a bit. And I got to thinking of how that would translate to us. Now, and everything that we do in our Christian lives is a personal choice. I've heard a lot of people say, yes, God is on the throne. And God is on his throne in heaven. And God has given us his commands, but everything that we choose to do is still our personal choice. We are autonomous. We are our own people. We have our own minds. We have more options than a lost soul. But we still decide what to do. And God says, if you bear fruit as a Christian. Now, a lot of times people talk about the fruit of a Christian is the number of souls that they will bring to the foot of the cross. That a soul coming to the foot of the cross is not your decision. A soul accepting Jesus Christ, another soul accepting Jesus Christ is not yours or my decision. And what other people do is not yours or my decision, but what is yours and my decision is obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fruit of a Christian life is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness, and faith. It doesn't say anything about saved souls. But if you obey the Lord, you will learn a lot of these things. You will learn the joy of obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't say, look, I'm going to sit here in the drawing room, bring me two cups of tea and make the crumpets extra crispy today. That is not what obeying the Lord is all about. The Lord may just ask you at some opportunity in work or in your private time when the opportunity will come up when people are talking about what they believe and what they like to do. It'll come to your turn. It'll come to my turn. What do you believe or what do you like to do? And the fruit, the Christian fruit, the character of a Christian will enable them to say, well, I believe that you need to be saved to go to heaven. And I believe that if you want to make your life worth living at all and worth looking back at with no regrets, I believe that you need to do what God asks you to do. And there are things that God asks us to do, and many people approach them in different ways. There are people that can't get out anymore and knock doors. They can still, using social media for probably its most useful use, if you want to put it that way, is to tell people about Jesus. Being a Christian does not mean that you need to keep spinning plates. Did anybody ever see the people doing the spinning plates? Used to watch it on Opportunity Knocks, and they would have 20 or 30 plates spinning on a stick, and he would get them all going, but occasionally a plate would start to wobble as it slowed down, and he would go back and give the stick a wee bit of a jiggle, and the plate would start spinning again. Eventually, all of those plates are going to fall down. Whenever you stop spinning them. That's not what the Lord wants us to do. It's not about keeping all the plates spinning. It is about bringing each job to its completion. And then being done with it. It's about investing time. Sometimes elbow grease. Sometimes money. I don't know. Whatever it is. Into a thing that God asks you to do. Completing it. And walking away, that is your fruit, your obedience. You're doing what God asks you to do. And then, whenever it's done, God will purge that fruit. He will take away that burden from you. You are done. Therefore, your time, your strength, your experiences, your Christian experiences can go to another endeavor that God would put upon your heart. Whether that is individual souls, whether that's individual tasks, I don't know. But as you go through life as a Christian, sometimes God will put a real burden upon you, a desire to do a certain thing, and you should do it. And whenever that is completed, he may remove that desire and enable you to go on and do something else. Now, it does talk about branches not actually doing anything, them being taken and cast into the fire. I think it's a fair enough assumption to say that that is lost souls that never get saved, never produce anything. All they're about is themselves, producing nice leaves and this, that and the other. No understanding of the scriptures, no desire to ever come to know the Lord as Savior, and they go to hell in the lake of fire. Not through God's machinations, and not because it's God's fault, because they refuse to accept Christ as Savior. Now, purging has a certain connotation of loss with it. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, it talks about a man purging himself from sin so that God can use him. It just means getting rid of stuff. Taking stuff out of the way so that you can be more usable to God. And in this one it means you or I doing what God asks us to do and then moving on to another task. It really is that simple. And whenever God purges that from you, that fruit from you, that obedience, that effort that he has asked you to put in, he hasn't asked you to make sure the people get saved. That's God's job to convict. It is the person's job to listen to that conviction. It is just yours and my calling as the children of the King of Kings to obey the Lord. And the point I'm trying to make is that's what God wants from us. It's not ability. It's not your ability to lift hundreds of kilos. It's not your ability to shift around, as Frank was doing. What was that you said the other night there, Frank? To round down to the nearest 10 million pounds, I thought, in a bank. Wouldn't it be nice to have to round down to the nearest 10 million? It's not your ability to move money around. It's not your ability to own money, to own cars, to be physically fit, an excellent athlete. It is. That's not the whole of our lives. And that is not what God's looking for. He's not looking for your ability. He is just looking for you to say, yes, Lord, what is it that you would like for me to do? That's what God's looking for. Your availability. And as you go, you will complete things. You will do things. I am sure when Norman talked us into doing the front of the church and the back of the church, he wasn't hoping that every few months we would go out and have to tighten a bolt or replace a sheet of tin. He was hoping that once that front of the church was done, that he wouldn't be burdened with it anymore, and he hasn't been, or the back. And now he's hoping for the same for the sides. Once the job is done, it's done. You move on. It's great to see it, but it's done, and it's time to move on. And that's what God has for us. A series of tasks that we complete, and it's not just to complete them for the sake of completing. There is much to be gained in understanding when God gives you a job and sees you through it and seeing the results, not just in the lives of others, but your own life. And the fact then that you will go on saying, well, I did that for God and I did that wee thing for God. I'll be able to do a bigger thing for God the next time and a bigger thing again. And at the risk of making light of what God wants us to do, that's exactly what happened to Norman. We started at the front, and it was a straightforward job, I think, in quotes. And then we went to the back. It was slightly less straightforward, and there was windows to be put into it, and there's still another one to go into it. And now we're at the side, which is like three times the size. We're going on to bigger and bigger things. And that's what God will ask of you. But he will never ask you to do anything you can't do. But he will stretch you and help you to grow so that you can accomplish greater and greater things for him. Whenever I first started coming to Bethel, I was happy to sit at the back out of the way and just enjoy the fellowship and the atmosphere and the company of God. And as the years went on, I crept further and further to the front of the church because I didn't want to miss anything. Because I wanted to hear and I wanted to write notes down in my Bible and on pieces of paper, things that I needed to remember. And then I got to the front pew and one day the Lord said to me, "Mark, you could speak for me." And I said to him, "Lord, I will speak for you if you help me." And he's been helping me ever since. And I went from the back of the church to the front of the church. And then I went out into the streets. And then we went to the doors, to car parks. The Lord will take you as far as you are prepared to go with him. And he will provide for you the whole way. That is his promise. That is what he has done for me. And if he'll do it for me, he'll do it for anybody. And I would urge you, even if you just do it once for the thrill, for the satisfaction of testing and proving that God's as good as his word, I would urge you to give it a shot. I'm stopping there. Thank you for your good time. I appreciate your attention. And we'll take our hymn books and we'll sing a closing song and then we'll be done. Hymn number 60. If you'd like to take and turn there face to face, someday we will be, face to face with Christ my Savior.
Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ who died for me. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. Only faintly now I see him, with the darkling veil between. But a blessed day is coming, when his glory shall be seen. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. What rejoicing presence when our banished grief and pain, when the crooked ways are straightened and the dark things shall be plain. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. Face to face, oh blissful moment, face to see and know.
face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loves me so. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by.
Amen. Thank you for bearing with me. God bless you. Have a safe trip home. Safe travels when you go far from home. And amen. Let's pray and then we'll be dismissed. Lord, thank you again for our time with you. Please bless us as we part company. I pray you'd see everybody safely home and back at the next appointed time. And Lord, we love you and praise you. And we ask this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Folks, God bless you. We're dismissed.